Cow Music, A Christmas Story from Kentucky by Charles Coughlin. Read by Charles Coughlin. Cow Music. Don't be afraid. They said what? That's what I heard somebody saying. My grandpa repeated. They said don't be afraid.
Of what?
Son, I don't know, but it scared the heck out of me when they said it.
This was yesterday when you were doing the milking?
Both yesterday and the day before. Both times it was still dark, round four probably. I was sitting there on the stool, milking Fabiola, Eustochium, and Paula, and whistling an aria for them, when I heard somebody high up in the barn rafters say, don't be afraid.
So what did you do?
Well, it had a reverse effect on me. I got out of there fast. And now it's happened again. That's why I came up here to the big house.
Because it scared you again?
Yes. I mean, no. No, David, it didn't scare me this time. I realized they had been saying, don't be afraid, in such a gentle way that this time I wasn't afraid.
Was it a man's voice?
Hard to tell.
I knew that Granddad just wanted somebody to talk to, even a 15-year-old kid, so we sat there at the kitchen table until the whole family showed up and made breakfast.
By that time, the cows were mooing away over their distended udders, so Granddad went back down to the barn and finished the milking. That happened in October. He didn't mention that he heard the voice again for a long time after that. Winter settled in. Christmas was coming. And then it would be the new year of 1957. So there was a lot else to think about in the big house. My dad and mom, brothers and sisters, and I lived there in the big house on Granddad's farm. The big house had been Granddad's house until Grandmom Ellie died. Then, because he didn't want to be the only one living on the farm, he gave the big house over to my dad and moved a few hundred yards downhill to the three-room cabin in the holler where he had been born 85 years before. That's where he and Grandma had started their married life. There was no electricity, but he liked it there. The cabin stood among tall trees on a ledge above a stream. You could hear water babbling all night long. My granddad was a complicated man. He had been famous, too. Long before I came on the scene, he had been an opera singer who performed leading roles at La Scala, Covent Garden, and the Met. We had some phonograph records of his glorious singing, made when he still had a voice. He made a very popular recording of the Cantique Noël, O Holy Night. My family always thought that nobody had ever come along that could equal the glorious sound he made, especially when he swept up to the high B-flat near the end. He had kept his voice into his early 70s. However, after Grandma Ellie suddenly died, he found that he couldn't sing anymore. He had lost his voice. That all happened before I was born, so I had never heard him sing in person or talk normally, for he'd lost his resonant speaking voice, too. After that, he could only speak in a hoarse whisper.
Yet he was resilient.
He kept plowing on ahead. I learned from watching him to find joy in ordinary and extraordinary things. He had a lot of sophisticated tastes in the fine arts, but made sure to also keep his feet on the ground and his hands in the soil. He was well into his 80s, so his hands in the soil activities had been cut back to getting up at 3 a.m. to milk his three cows. For some reason, he had named them Fabiola, Eustochium, and Paula, after the three women that did a lot of the work in compiling and translating the first Bible in the 4th century. If I happened to be awake at 3:30 a.m., I could hear him coming up from the cabin whistling, calling to the cows so they would call back, all three mooing together as they waited for him to come climbing up the hill to the barn to give them relief. If I sat up in bed from my attic window, I could see him coming, surrounded by the glow of his favorite old kerosene lantern. When he went into the barn, you could see lantern lights streaming out through the slats of the barn, so the whole thing was like a lamp. He had made a sort of shrine to Grandma Ellie in there. It was on a little table next to where he did the milking, so he always rested the lantern there. On the table, he had put some of her personal objects, and there was a framed wedding photograph of him and Grandma Ellie. She was carrying an elegant bouquet of large roses. They were both very young and didn't have much money, so she was just wearing an ordinary dress. However, her head was crowned with an exquisite Irish lace bridal veil that had been worn by her mother on her own wedding day back in Kerry. It looked very fine and must have been quite expensive. Granddad and Grandma were going to go on their honeymoon to Cumberland Falls, but somebody had stolen their luggage right off the back of their buggy in front of the church. They didn't have the means to replace what they needed, so they canceled their honeymoon and just went home to the cabin. The beautiful veil had been in Ellie's suitcase. She had wanted to pass it on to her children someday. They said she never really got over the loss of it. So Granddad would sit on the stool milking the cows by lantern light, even though the barn had electric lights. As he worked, he liked to contemplate the wedding photograph and think back. If my window was open, I could listen to him whistling those elaborate bel canto arias that made the cows happy. They would bellow along in a kind of dissonant chorus of cow contentment, and I would go back to sleep. Some days before Christmas, he heard the voice say the same words again. "Don't be afraid." Or so he told us when he came up for breakfast. I caught Mom and Dad sharing a knowing look. They changed the subject right away, and we kids went on eating pancakes like everything was normal. The next day and the next, he said he heard it again, now almost singing, "Don't be afraid," over and over for a minute or two. The next night, I made sure to be awake when he came up to the barn. I was afraid to intrude. Granddad had noticed that when someone else was with him, the voice never came. So I just stayed inside and watched from my attic window. I saw the glow of the lantern filling the barn with light and heard the cows mooing and Granddad whistling Christmas carols. But that's all I could hear. That night, it snowed a snow that lasted to Christmas. We were eating breakfast on the morning of Christmas Eve when Granddad said he heard it again. Nobody said anything for a minute. He said it was becoming more musical every day. He said that he had started to take comfort from the sound of the voice. He could tell that Fabiola, Eustochium, and Paula did too. They became absolutely still when they heard it. We nodded and went on eating pecan waffles that were so good that nobody noticed when Granddad went over and picked up the phone directory and started looking through the yellow pages. But when we realized that he had called St. Benedict's Catholic Church and asked to speak to Father Theodore, we all stopped eating and listened. We weren't Catholics, and we didn't usually go to any church. We heard Granddad ask the priest if he would come out to see what could be done about the voice in the barn. We listened to his half of the conversation. "No, I'm sorry to bother you." "No, I'm not Catholic, Father." "No, actually, I am pretty sure that there is no God," Granddad was saying. "But I still need your help." "Well, sometimes I hear a voice coming from high up in the barn that says, 'Don't be afraid.'" "Well, I'm calling you because who else would I call? The police would think I'm a lunatic and lock me up." "That's right. The voice said, 'Don't be afraid.' And I'm not. Or not much, anyway." "Well, I do need your help in particular, because I don't know if it's a ghost, a trick, a celestial voice, or a demon." "No, I'm not afraid. I just wanted your opinion. It's going to take a priest, and you're the only one in the county." "Why you? Well, because if it's demonic, it would take a priest. Think about my poor cows. Look, you might have to perform an exorcism. Priests are supposed to do that." "My cows? Oh, there's three of them. Fabiola, Eustochium, and Paula." "No, it's not a coincidence. I did name them after St. Jerome's assistants." "That's right, the three women that helped him compile and translate the Bible." "No, don't get the wrong idea. I'm not a Christian at all, not anymore. I don't have any use for all that. God let Ellie die, and as far as I'm concerned, then he died too." Oh, I apologize. I spoke out of turn there. I'm fine. I just wish with all my heart that I could be with Ellie on Christmas. It just gets bad around Christmas. You will? You'll come out? Great. But you'd have to get here around 3 or 3:30 a.m. Oh, right. Midnight Mass. I could drive down and pick you up after that. Okay. Since you're doing all this, I think I'll make a deal and agree to come in time for the whole thing. Starts at midnight, right? Okay. I'm so pleased you'll come out. There's definitely a voice. I can't thank you enough. He hung up. He was beaming. Then he realized we were all looking at him and were waiting for him to say something. Father Theodore will be here in the morning. Maybe we could fix something good for breakfast, he said. Of course we could, said Mom. He made me feel a lot better. He says he doesn't think we have a demon in the barn. Well, how did he decide that, she said. 'Cause the voice says, don't be afraid. He says that whenever people see an angel, angels always say that. My dad asked, but why would something so beautiful and inoffensive as an angel have to say that? That stopped Granddad for a moment. Well, he said, could be that there are things so much more beautiful than you'd ever seen before, so glorious, that the first sight of them scares the ever-loving pants off you. So Granddad picked up Father Theodore and brought him out to the farm at 3:30 a.m. to sit in the barn while the cows were milked. I didn't want to miss this for the world, so they let me come down to the barn too. As you might expect, the voice didn't show up. Father Theodore and I just sat there listening to Granddad whistle and the cows moo. There was not a whisper of any other sound. Granddad seemed embarrassed. Don't be concerned, Father Theodore said. I'm enjoying the whistling and mooing concert. Maybe it was a demon and I scared it off, Granddad said. How? Because, as you well know, when I came to pick you up for midnight mass, I broke down and took the sacraments for the first time in a long time. Decades. Maybe the voice is afraid of me now that I took communion. Do you regret it? Heck no. Took courage? No, well, confession was a bit scary. Since I'm already here, Father Theodore said, just in case, why don't I go ahead and perform the exorcism? I would appreciate that. I don't think you have a problem here, but just in case. Good, I agree. Do you think you could whistle the Regina Caeli from Cavalleria Rusticana while I do it? You got it. And Granddad began whistling as Father Theodore placed his stole around his neck and began walking around reading from his prayer book. He gave us each a little card so we could voice the responses when he nodded at us. Christ hear us, Father Theodore said, and we answered. Christ graciously hear us. Then he called on a long list of angels and saints to pray along with us. He finished it with an impressive prayer that included phrases like, depart, persecutor of the innocent, full of lies and cunning, give way to Christ. Do not think of despising my command because you know me to be a great sinner. It is God himself who commands you. At times he sprinkled holy water all around and on Fabiola, Eustochium, and Paula. He put his hands on them and blessed them. I think they liked it. I felt relieved. Then we went up to the big house. Breakfast was the delicious pecan waffles again. Father Theodore and Granddad started telling each other all the rabbi priest minister jokes. We got to laughing so much that our sides hurt. Then, despite the noise, we heard Fabiola, Eustochium, and Paula mooing all together. Granddad stood up. The sounds they made were strange, but also beautiful in a way. Well, I be, Granddad said. Listen to that. It's like music. I listened and could hear what he meant. The mooing of cows is usually more discordant and to our ears seems to have no rhyme or rhythm. Father Theodore was wide-eyed. Have they sounded like that before? No, never, Dad said. They're usually pretty quiet after they get milked, unless something's bothering them. I'll go down and see, said Granddad. He went and opened the door and stood in the doorway. Listen, everybody, he exclaimed. Do you recognize what that sounds like? Then we all followed him out on the back porch. Everything remained shrouded in pre-dawn darkness, although a warm lantern glow still shone from between the slats of the barn.
Stay here. Let me take a look, Granddad said and started down.
Halfway there, he stopped and called back to us in a clear voice.
I know you think I've gone senile, but Fabiola, Eustochium, and Paula are singing what sounds like the orchestral introduction to O Holy Night.
Then he turned and almost ran the rest of the way into the barn. I didn't know he could move like that. What amazed me even more was that his speaking voice sounded clear and resonant. The mooing went on and on. It did sound in tune. It was beautiful. Then I heard Granddad begin to sing in a soft voice. It was the voice from his recordings. His voice had come back. Oh, holy night, when the stars were brightly shining. The glow from the barn seemed to grow. He sang. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Fabiola, Eustochium, and Paula moved on in deep harmonious union with him as his voice opened, blooming as he sang.
Fall on your knees.
He swept the words up on the great span of his voice. Magnificent. I looked around. We were all standing like open-mouthed statues on the porch. Father Theodore got down on his knees and brought his hands together in prayer. The barn became illumined. Granddad sang a long, spinning sculpture of sound, drawing it out from his soul-woven body. O night! It became a kind of glory flowing from the God-woven baby. When Christ was born, the barn was blazing with a brilliant light, as if it were a lens before a furnace. Eastward on the brink of dawn, the sun was sending up columns of rose and violet light, in the slow gestation of an atmospheric altarpiece. Granddad was approaching the lofty phrase at the peak of this song. Sounding like a mighty organ, the cow sang out, harmonizing in a kind of ecstasy. O night, divine, Granddad sang. O night, there was a long breath, and then he sang, divine. It was a golden sound, thrilling, suspending time. Then he diminished to a whisper, O night, divine. And the voices of Fabiola, Eustochium, and Paula drifted into silence. The sun was filling the clear day with light. The light in the barn had disappeared. We waited for Granddad to reappear. When he didn't, we ran down the hill and into the barn. We found him on his knees, slumped against the table of his little shrine to Ellie. His hands were clasped in prayer. It must have been sudden. He was gone before we even got there. He looked as if he was at peace. From the photograph, the gifted young tenor and his happy new wife smiled down at him. He was gone. We didn't know what to do at first. We watched as Father Theodore anointed his forehead and prayed for him. We were in shock. We now know that it had been her voice. She must have come for him, to take him with her at last. We all knew it had to be Ellie. To tell us so, she left gifts for us. She left us signs that it was her. What we could not see until we lifted Granddad from the table, that he was lying on a bouquet of roses. It was not crushed at all. It was fresh and magnificent. The bouquet was exactly like the one in the wedding photograph. How did it get there? Ellie brought it to him. Where else could it have come from? It was not an identical bouquet. It was the same bouquet. We know that, because we also found that she had brought something that she always wanted to give to the family. Grandma Ellie had left a miracle lying on the shrine table, just beyond her husband's hands, clasped in prayer. It was her mother's bridal veil, the one fashioned from exquisite Irish lace.